episode 43 of This Developing Story. So busy week here at Block. I am still working on this React app. I don't know if I even mentioned that I was working on React now at work. So no longer doing Angular full-time. I'm still kind of helping out where I can. But we started a Greenfield project. Yeah, I did mention this a couple weeks ago. But started a Greenfield project, and it's all React and with the Rails API, which is quite interesting. It's a lot similar to what I did with a lot of the Ember stuff I did last year, but except it's React, so it's a little bit different than Ember. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun, a lot of learning, and hopefully I'll be able to talk about it soon. Kind of keeping it close to the chest at the moment until we're ready to unveil it. But yeah, looking forward to that. In addition to that app, I have been going through the software engineering track. We've got new curriculum, computer science. I mentioned it quite a few weeks ago, but yeah, Block's got a new course, software engineering track, and I'm going through the actual course material for the computer science stuff. So data structures, algorithms, some database stuff, and there's one more section that they have done that I can't remember what it is, but anyway, I'm still in the data structures, learning about arrays, linked lists, stacks and queues, and so the curriculum actually recommends using Ruby, but I am instead using Go. So I wanted to use this as an opportunity to not only learn computer science, but also learn something else in addition to that. So I thought of using C, but why use C when I already know a little bit of Go, and I can just get stronger in Go. So I am doing Go and looking forward to completing that. So yeah, I do have a repo online if you wanted to see what I did, but I'll share that when I get a little further along and it's a little more interesting. But other than that, doing Go, and this episode is actually going to be it's another interview, and I'm interviewing the founder, creator of Potus Palooza. It's an iOS game. It's a game that actually was created during his Block apprenticeship. So he did the iOS 36-week course. His name is Kevin Colligan. And super awesome dude. Found out a lot about him that I didn't really actually know about before. But he recently just graduated the iOS course maybe a week after I graduated it. So I finished that up. And his capstone was Potus Palooza. It's an awesome game using SpriteKit. And definitely a really, really looking like a challenging app. But he was able to do that like in about less than 3 months that he focused on. We talk about that. We go through his past career at the Grammys. He's out in the LA. And he worked for, the company that puts on the Grammy Awards, which is pretty awesome. So while being full-time, he created this app. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. I do have to say, I have to apologize for my mic. His audio was perfect. My audio, about 10 minutes into the actual interview, I start talking like I start getting some crackling noises. I have an assumption that it was due to the way it was recorded. So I've got updates and fixes for that in the future podcast, but for some reason, I just started getting some weird artifacts in my audio. So hopefully it's not too distracting, but just wanted to say, just want to apologize for that. Also, I had to record in a room that was not as silent as normal, so you'll probably hear a lot more echo on my voice. I'm also working on that. I'm trying to grab a space in advance that will actually be more beneficial to recording with the microphone. But other than that, hopefully you enjoy the podcast and enjoy Kevin's story.
My name's Kevin Colligan. I've been working in the digital media field for a long time. Most recently as the head of digital media for the Grammy Awards. I started out not from a programming side, though. I started out from a content side. So way back when, I was a newspaper reporter got the idea pretty quickly that all the action was on the digital side. So I started working more as a digital producer and an editor. So that was at a couple of newspapers back in New Jersey, the biggest one being the Asbury Park Press. And then from there, I just worked in many different online outfits. So I went to Fox Sports. I worked there. I worked at some startups. I worked at Major League Baseball. I worked at the Grammys. And over time, I got very technical. So I got became like a producer who knew HTML, CSS, that type of thing at first. And then really got into application design on and a lot around content management systems. So doing a lot of sort of UX and flow and how a content management system should work, but not the actual technical programming side of it. And so I've always wanted to, I've had an iPhone since, not since the very beginning, but pretty close. And I always wanted to be able to program my own. I wanted to be able to dream up a product, design it, and then actually build it. And I had most of those steps there, except for the building part. And that's why I joined Block to learn to actually build everything that I'd been dreaming of.
Cool. So you chose. Me and you are very similar. We just finished the same course and within like weeks of each other. Unfortunately, I'm still working on my capstone, so it's actually not unveiled to the world yet. But you, how did you find Block, I guess, is what I'm getting at. Like, what made you choose it over like just hacking on your own for some perpetual amount of time?
Right. Well, I had been hacking on my own for a while, and I, you know, would build little mini apps and mini games. I'm sure you probably did something similar, and probably most people do who go down this path. But I really wanted to learn, quote unquote, the right way. I'd been sort of everything I taught myself digitally. I'd pretty much, everything I knew digitally, I'd pretty much taught to myself. So I figured I really wanted to learn to program. In my mind, properly and really get a good solid foundation for it. So I started looking through all sorts of boot camps. I was working full time and I wasn't able to just take a few months off and just concentrate just on programming. So that was one big reason why Block appealed to me. Just doing the online research, just comparing, it seemed to be the best fit for me.
Yeah. So you did this while you were working at the Grammys, which I wasn't aware. I guess the Grammys has their own company. Associated with the
they do, yes. It's the Recording Academy. It's a big member organization, so it's people who work in the music industry. That's why the Grammys are kind of a big deal. It's people who it's peer voting, so you vote for other musicians, that type of thing. Kind of like the Oscars, or when people are I want to thank the Academy. For the Grammys, it's the Recording Academy, which is the group.
Okay. Would you consider them to be sort of like a union, or is it different? It's actually a company.
It's different. It's actually a not-for-profit company, but it's like a member organization. There's about 17,000, maybe there's over 20,000 members. I probably should know this.
Okay. But like the Screen Actors Guild, similar to that, if you were to compare it to TV.
Exactly. Right. Well, it's a lot like the Academy of behind the Oscars, the Motion Picture Academy.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just the music industry. So it's, you know, people who were, you have a mix of people who were very artistic. So songwriters, singers, very technical people in the engineering side of the spectrum. And then there's the business people as well. Like people work the labels and that sort of thing.
Cool. So one thing that got me really interested in you, not only that you're a Block alum and I'm a Block alum and I work at Block right now, but so your capstone was basically like this blew my mind as far as like a product that you were able to put together. And like, how much time did you spend on your capstone? Cause I know you did the 36 week course.
I did.
Out of those 36 weeks, how many weeks did you spend on this app?
Oh boy. You know what? I probably should have reviewed the questions beforehand. I'm not completely sure. Cause I took the 36 week program and I took a little break in the middle of it. Things were getting busy at work and I actually had, so I had kind of a strange break right between kind of the foundations and the capstone part of the project.
Okay.
I want to say about 3 months is what I worked on the capstone project, something along those lines. I'd been thinking about it beforehand. And the project is a game. It's a game called Potuspalooza, like a sprite kit game. Not quite an endless runner, but one of those things where you have to run and jump over enemies and collect coins. But I had way back when I started doing a little bit of cartooning and drew some of the political candidates, never thinking I was going to turn it into a game.
Oh, so you drew all the candidates and all the sprite work?
I did.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought maybe you outsourced it or something like that. That's pretty awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, I did outsource. I got some help with the background. So I found actually a great artist who did the backgrounds for me and did a couple of the enemies as well. So I did all the candidates and I did some of the enemies. If you look closely, you can see the enemies that look really well done are mostly the other artist, because he's a better artist than me. But
and again, yeah, for the listener, it's POTUS Palooza is a
POTUS Palooza. It's as any political junkies know, POTUS is slang for President of the United States. So it's POTUS Palooza. So you pick a candidate and you run through the course. And the little news hook to the game is that we've got kind of a built-in poll. So as you're winning points for yourself, you also win for the candidate of your choice. So if you're backing Bernie, you can pile up points for Bernie or Hillary or.
I was using Bernie this morning, so I don't think I got him many points though.
Oh, really? Okay, right. Yeah, Bernie's out to an early lead in the POTUS Palooza poll. So, and we're recording this on Super Tuesday, which is a big day in the election. So we'll see if it's an accurate reflection of the electorate.
Wow, that's pretty wild. So so last week you were on Product Hunt and you were number one for games. And I think you made it to the front page too.
I did.
That's pretty awesome. Have you guys done any, like, is it just you like running this whole game at the moment, or do you have any other people working with you?
Yeah, just me pretty much. I got a lot of help from Block though with Product Hunt. They suggested it, Prachi.
She's awesome.
Suggested it to me and helped me navigate those waters. So that was a huge help. But right now it's just me working on the game.
Cool. And do you have any other plans as far as like advertising and getting the game out there, you know, while this election season's still active?
I do. Well, I'm kind of figuring out as I go along. I did just send a press release out on it yesterday using the PR Newswire, which I'd been unfamiliar with before, but it distributes to distributes to all sorts of media outlets. And so I had the first press release go out yesterday. I'm not really sure how well that's done. I haven't seen an uptick in installations yet, but obviously it's a timely game with a shelf life. So I'm trying to get some press for it now. Just started Product Hunt last week, the first press release this week. And we'll go from there. So if you have any ideas or tips, I'm all ears.
Yeah, I'm super interested. I've got ideas. I know a few different podcast hosts who are specifically on doing a podcast around politics around this actual election cycle. So I'm going to mention to you off air and see if you are familiar with them or whatever. But
Excellent.
So as far as the game itself, you mentioned you're going to be doing maybe a sequel to it. Or are you going to... Once we get to like the actual general election?
Yes. So my plan is to do a sequel for it. And you know how it is when you're planning a product or something like that. You have all these grand plans in the beginning of all these features. And then reality starts setting in and you start saying, okay, well, we'll move this one off. We'll move this one off. So all the cool things that I wanted to get to in this game, hopefully I'll get to in the general election sequel. And when I say that, I'm thinking about like I want to make it work for tvOS as well. So you can play it on the Apple TV. I probably want to use a little bit more of the cool gameplay kit tools, some of the artificial intelligence and flocking type of behavior. We'll probably look to have in-app purchases in it. That's something I originally thought I might get in for this version of the game and then just ran out of time. But and the big thing is that I want it to be a head-to-head game. So it could be a multiplayer game, so you could play against somebody, against your friends.
Oh, cool.
Or get matched randomly with an opponent.
Yeah. Ooh, very cool, man. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I got it downloaded, so I'll make sure I'll let my circle of influence make sure they all download it and make their candidate be number one in the polls, per se.
Thank you. Pretty awesome. Much obliged.
Cool. So during either the course of Block and like now, I know you're in the LA area. Are you involved in the actual tech scene now that you are focused on this product or anything like that? Going to meetups or?
You know, I'm not too much. I've gone to a Swift meetup here that I just found, I think through meetup.com actually. And I'll probably go to some more, but I haven't really been to a lot. It is starting to pick up down here in LA more so than, you know, even just like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'll probably try to get plugged in a little bit into the community. And really now just practice, want to make sure that I keep my head down and keep sharpening my skills and also remember what you do, because, you know, if you walk away from something and you look at it a few weeks later, you know, it takes a little time to figure out what you've done and why you did it. And
yeah, exactly. And I know how that goes. Yeah. So like the LA area, I know. So me personally, like I don't know how you went through the actual course. Did you start in Objective-C and then go to Swift, or is your app in Objective-C?
The app is Swift. Okay. And so I did, I mean, I did enough Objective-C to at least feel credible messing around with Objective-C.
Yeah, same here.
My thought was it's, you know, Sprint's the Sprint. Swift is the future. Sprint is definitely not the future.
No.
Swift is the future, so I really kind of wanted to go heavy on that. But with knowing enough Objective-C to understand, because if you're going for a job, my understanding, and I wouldn't say that I'm an expert on this, but my understanding is, you know, most legacy apps are still going to be in Objective-C probably for quite a while. So you need to know both. But anything new that I'm writing, I tend to, I try to write in Swift, in the latest version of Swift. And even with SpriteKit, which is the Apple's 2D game engine, I try to use a lot of the more cutting edge technologies there. Some of that came back to bite me. So you can be a little bit too cutting edge sometimes, especially when you're first learning something.
Yeah.
I think overall it was worth the stretch to try to get the newer technologies in.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I just did Objective-C and the foundations, and then I went straight to Swift for the projects and then for my capstone.
Do you find you like Swift better than Objective-C?
I do. I felt like I got a really good understanding of Objective-C and understand like why I don't want to use it. So, so now using Swift is it's more pleasurable to write. I think that with the way the community is going, a lot of more of the excitement's in Swift. Like we have a Swift meetup here, and we have a regular iOS meetup, and The Swift meetup is like, it goes biweekly here in SF, which is the city limits. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's always like people who are just pulling out brand new things about like, oh, you can do this in Swift, you can do that in Swift. And then with them open sourcing it, now you can do Swift server, which is like even cooler. So I like Swift a lot. I did take a right turn into React Native because I already do web.
Okay.
So I'm using React Native for my capstone project. But I'm still writing a little bit Swift to get some things done because React Native it's still a limited project, so you can't do everything in it.
Okay. Nice. I think I've got the same exact feeling. I like Swift. It just feels like a cleaner language to write in. It does sort of, and one of my mentors mentioned this to me, it hides some of the complexity where Objective-C is very verbose and you see everything. So sometimes in that respect, Swift can be a little bit tricky. It looks simpler than it really is. And if some of the complexity can be hidden behind graceful code.
Yeah, I found that out firsthand for sure, trying to do certain things and figuring that like things were working the way I thought they should have been working.
Right.
But it's really good practice too, and it's nice being on the cutting edge of a new language rather than learning a language that's been around for 30 plus years.
Right.
Which is like Objective-C. And it's nice to have that under your belt and have that sort of comfortable feeling writing Swift code.
And it seems to me that it's only accelerating the move to Swift. You know, and I guess when Swift 3.0 is going to come out, I'm not sure when, but
it's going to be summertime.
Is that going to be summer? Okay. Sounds like that might be like the last big change. And I've heard some old crusty Objective-C type saying they're holding out for Swift 3 before they jump in.
Keep holding your breath, I guess.
Right. It'll be good for people like us who've been a little more familiar with Swift. So
yeah. So what are you doing to, I guess, stay up to date and learning as far as like, do you have blog posts that you go to, or do you screencast or anything like that?
I do. I've been doing a lot of, since my project's the game, so I've been looking at a lot of game-centric resources. So the Ray Wenderlich website has quite a bit. There's a site, Cartoon Smart, that has quite a bit of, it's a subscription site. It's a game. They have lots of game tutorials and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So using those, and then going through the Big Nerd Ranch new Swift book that just came out to try to bolster my Swift skills. And you know what I also like, and I've been trying, I haven't yet, but I keep saying I'm going to set aside a little time to do it every morning, is an iTunes U, the Stanford University course.
Yeah, that's on my long list.
Yeah. So I started taking the earlier version of that, liked it quite a bit. I'm going to try to, I've got the new version set on my computer, ready to go, and now I've got to do it.
That's awesome. One thing I forgot to ask, who was your mentor when you went to the program? I'm sure a lot of people are curious.
Yeah, Paul Jacobs was my mentor for the Capstone project. I've originally had another mentor when I first started. I took a break, and I guess he was busy or what have you. So when I started up again, I flipped over to this Paul Jacobs. Yeah, so he was very good. He was great. I'm actually looking at my game. I gave him both of the mentors. I gave him a little mention in my credits. So I'll. Oh, there he is, Brandon Alexander. Sorry. Oh,
okay.
Brandon Alexander. Yeah, so he was my first mentor for the foundations, and he was actually, when I mentioned that how Swift sometimes hides complexity, that's actually kind of a paraphrase of something that he told me and that I found to be true after going through it for a while.
Yeah, cool.
And Paul's been great. He's really helped me. This was a big stretch for me. Like, I put out kind of an ambitious project, wasn't completely sure if I could pull it off. And he helped me get through some pretty tough roadblocks. Big thanks to both of those guys.
Cool. And did you do Swiftris before the Tetris app, before you did this app?
I did.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I did Swiftris, not the actual Swiftris Plus, but the actual block book that they expose everybody that can use to.
Right, okay.
I did that, but I did that enough to know I don't want to work with SpriteKit. Like, it was nice, but that was, like, too much of a brain dump to try to figure out how to do visual coding and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm kind of a visual person, and that's one reason I liked iOS development. I really like Xcode, which I know a lot of people complain about Xcode all the time.
But, yeah, I'm one of them.
And I've got my complaints too. I've had a lot of spinning beach balls and that type of thing, performance wise. But the system itself, I don't want to say that it's like training wheels, but it is kind of, it's a more structured environment. Well, you know, if you do the Rails, you don't have the same sort of, it doesn't seem to me you have the same sort of integration. Like, you know, if you want to look for a certain method or something, the way help is built into Xcode.
That is pretty nice. It's nice. And it's similar, like, with Java. When you use those IDEs, everything's built in. You have tab completions to find methods, and you can, like, right-click functions or classes to be able to find out the definition. So a lot of that you have to hand-build into, like, something like Vim or Sublime Text. So that is one nice thing about Xcode, for sure.
Right. That's nice. And then I did quite a bit on the visual scene editor for SpriteKit. But I think I kind of put I think I pushed Xcode to the limits of my scenes. I ended up dropping like tons of sprites in there, and I did entire levels for the first version of the app, and really got to the point where it's kind of bogging down and got really hard to update. You spend a lot of time waiting for the spinning beach ball. So the new version of in the next version that I'll be pushing up the next time I send an update, I've created levels in code, so it should be a lot more scalable, hopefully. But you can really rough out a game very quickly in the visual editor. It's very helpful for that.
So going back to your game, I did have one question. So the actual music behind, did you create that or did you outsource that?
I did create that, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome.
And it's funny because I did it like in a pretty fast clip, and I was thinking, oh, here's my quick test track that I'll put in here so I have some music to put in the background. And I kind of liked it. It's kind of catchy, so I kept it. It's just GarageBand, some loops put together, and there you go.
Yeah. And what are these? I did have another question.
these things that you jump over, the ones that are not the peanuts, they look like bags.
Oh, the tea bags. Those are tea baggers. Yes.
Okay. I had concerns of what was inside the bag, but that makes the tea bag makes a lot of sense.
Yes, they're a tea bag.
I've noticed a lot of different like political innuendos within the actual game, so that's pretty awesome.
Right. Well, that was the idea. So if you're a Democrat, you're facing down a gun nut and a tea bag, and of course you have the Koch brothers dropping money bags on you. And the funny thing was, I didn't even realize this until about a week after the app was in the store. That you know how when you write your description and you send it to the app review, Apple censored my use of the word tea baggers. So I didn't realize that that was a controversial term, but. Yeah, so it's just a capital T and then a whole bunch of asterisks and then an S at the end. So it looks like I said something far worse than teabaggers. But,
okay, that would also go down the road of what I thought was inside the bag. But anyway, that's actually funny. I didn't realize that baggers would have been like such a derogatory term.
Well, I guess there's another meaning for the word.
I might have to add an explicit tag for this podcast now.
That's right. I'm sorry to get you in trouble with the Apple people, but.
Oh, it's okay. Just make sure I check that box when I submit this episode. Cool. Nice. Well, I'll definitely be playing the game. I'll put some more time into it later today. I'll probably have to try a Republican candidate out next so I can see what it looks like.
Okay.
Because I didn't realize the changes, but very cool. Well, I'm looking forward to like seeing your future endeavors for sure. I'd love to keep in touch. You know, if you need, I don't know how much help I can give you. I don't have any apps in the app store. So, but yeah, I'd love to beta test anything if you'd like to have some eyes on it.
I'd love to take you up on that. I'm sure you'll have something in the store soon, and I'm happy to return the favor. When you do submit to the store, plan ahead, because it took me 16 days of app review to get through.
Okay, yeah, I've heard the stories.
These are the longest 16 days of my life, and it's a black box, so you won't get any answers. You can ask, and I did ask, and I got back a form letter twice, and it's just basically wait. Finally came through. Not sure what took it so long, but it came through. And the only thing I lost was the teabaggers word in the description. So,
all right. Well, we'll remember our fallen brothers in the Apple submission process.
Right. Right.
Cool. So if some people want to find your game, is there a URL you can speak to them about or find you and your work?
Yes. It's POTUSpalooza.com. So POTUS. POOZA, POTUSpalooza.com. And that's just a little promotional website for the game. It has links to the store to download it. And it has, little descriptions and a lot of the stuff that I was going to try to get in the game that I got into, so people would know what those bags are, that it actually is a tea bag. You'll see all that on the website. And hopefully, I'll be pushing out a couple of updates to this game throughout the primary season and then right on to the general election version.
Very cool. And do you have, is all this code public or do you have it in a private repo?
I do have it in a private repo.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought I'd ask in case people were curious. Cool. Well, I see you guys do have a Twitter too, POTUSpalooza.
I do, yes. We're a lot of bad political jokes up there. So if you enjoy bad political jokes, that's your place.
I'll be sure to follow that then. Go ahead.
No, I was just trying to say, I'm trying to find a voice for POTUSpalooza. It's kind of like obviously a wise guy, supposed to be a comedic voice. So I tweet out in that voice in Twitter. So hopefully it doesn't, hopefully people find it more funny than annoying, but we'll find out.
So that's the podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I really enjoyed his story. I've really enjoyed understanding how it was for a first time iOS developer to get something in the App Store. And I'm looking forward to seeing this game and this, this brand as it goes forward. It's super interesting, obviously, with the political season being so timely. It's pretty awesome to see him think of a game start to finish and be able to unveil that to the public as an apprentice in our boot camp, online boot camp. So cool. I do have some more interviews booked for the next few weeks. So it's going to be looking like we're going to have some interviews for the rest of the month. That is pretty awesome. Other than that, hit me up on Twitter at BDougieO. And also you can sign up for Mutual Fund, mutualfund.io. All right, guys, have a good week.